Member-supported Jazz 90.1 proudly welcomes you to America's longest-running computer show, Soundbites. Call the show now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll-free 800-790-0415 or soundbites.org. Now, alongside Steve Ray and Dave Enright, here's Nick Francesco on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. American, all the trips to the BC. It is Saturday, the 28th of September, Anno Domini 2013, and you lucky people, you're listening to Soundbites. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 6 minutes after the hour, we're going to be bringing you news, views, things to choose, nothing to lose, kick off your shoes, don't get the blues. Here comes the news. Let's start with an interesting, I think, beginning, I believe this is, personally. Netflix won its first Emmy Award, the kind doled out at the flashy, star-studded television ceremony last Sunday night, as David Fincher won for Best Directing of a Drama Series for a series that's only available on Netflix, House of Cards. The online subscription video service, which has been touting itself of late as the world's leading internet television provider, was nominated for 14 Primetime Emmy Awards this year, the first time that an online-only service has shows in the running for one of television's top creative honors. Although Primetime doesn't have much meaning when you're talking about an on-demand service. Netflix has already won a couple of Emmys this year, one Creative Arts Emmy for casting and another for cinematography, both for House of Cards, which were given out at a ceremony prior to the main event broadcast Sunday evening. And prior to the 2013 awards, Netflix had a Technology and Engineering Emmy to its name. But this is the first time Netflix or any online-only distribution platform for television has won one of the marquee Emmys that is accepted in front of a theater of stars and a national broadcast television audience. The kind of Emmy that generates buzz important for Netflix to add to its base of more than 30 million streaming subscribers. Reed Hastings, the chief executive of the web's top video streaming service, has some mighty ambitions for his company's marquee original series, the political thriller House of Cards. Hopefully, he said, by the time we get to season 3, 4, 5, if we're fortunate enough to get there, then we turn it into a Harry Potter-esque global massive phenomenon, with the world anticipating season after season, much like J.K. Rowling's fantastically popular books and the film based upon them, he said during a discussion of Netflix's latest quarterly results on Monday night. So, our poll of the week at soundbites.org. That's bites with a Y, Francis would like us to remind you. House of Cards, an online-only drama, won an Emmy. And the choices are, it's the death knell of traditional media, man! It's a harbinger, but it'll be a long time coming. It's just one more outlet for pap. And net what now? Is this that newfangled Edison thing? And so far we have 24 votes out there, and 25, and fairly evenly split between it's just one more outlet, it's a harbinger, and net what now? And yes, I know Edison didn't invent television. That's part of the joke. Thanks to all those of you who wrote in to tell me that. Anyway, I know you have more to say, so there's a forum up. If you go to the forums, you'll find 28 September 13, House of Cards, an online-only drama, won an Emmy. Did you watch it? What do you think? Give us a call, 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299, toll-free 1-800-790-0415.
I kind of liken this to the first time like HBO started winning Emmys. If you're old enough to remember, you know, there were only three TV stations for a while, and I remember when the fourth one came on and there was something to watch besides the president during a speech.
Yeah, and the remote
channel
was
31. Yeah, the remote was you. Go change your channel.
Your dad's
you have to change your channel.
Yep. And then when
even if you were in the other room.
Oh yeah.
When cable first started, And how weird it was to have a non-network source for initially it was just movies, but then when they started doing their own original programming, I bet a lot of the network people were saying back then, you know, what's going on, and you know, how can this be happening, and we're losing our that's where it started. We're losing our monopoly on TV shows.
Yep.
And now they're losing it even more.
Well,
that's why a lot of the big networks are buying the streaming services.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's an interesting problem that Nielsen has decided to solve by simply adding in now.
Yeah.
Audiences for things like House of Cards and Orange Is the New Black, and for people who are recording. Apparently, they know when you've recorded something.
Well, we did a Nielsen for playback. We did a Nielsen survey a few months, well, last year now, I think. And they had instructions about DVRs. You know, what if you're watching something live, record that, write that down in your log, and if you're watching your DVR, write down the show you are watching and when it was on. And so they are tracking, at least through the Nielsen rating service, what shows are being watched live, what shows are being watched on DVR.
Right.
Your cable company, of course, knows what channel you're on and what shows you're watching, and whether they report that to anybody or not is another question.
Right.
But you know, they know what's coming into your computer and what's coming into your television, and they're probably seeing more and more people watching streaming video instead of cable TV channels. And it's the whole thing we're running now in cord cutting. In fact, I'm going to be doing a presentation next week, the 9th, at Cider, Apple Cider Meeting, on cord cutting. And Phil Dempier's agreed to come along and talk about the internet implications. Because we've talked about this in the past with cellular, that you run into bandwidth caps on cellular. You know, most cellular data plans are like 5 gigs a month, 10 gigs a month if you're lucky. Well, that's like one movie, maybe two. And cable companies around the country have put bandwidth caps. Most of them are in the 2 to 300 meg range, which isn't too bad. Fortunately, here in Rochester, we don't have a cap, mostly because of Phil, and he stopped the cap grassroots campaign when Frontier was one of the first companies that were going to put a 5 gig cap on DSL. But Time Warner has caps in other cities. And then the new Time Warner CEO coming in, everyone's wondering if he's going to sort of reverse or continue the plans of the previous CEOs.
Right.
For caps, for DVRs. There's supposedly a new 6-channel DVR coming for Time Warner, like Dish and the Hapa.
The Hapa.
The Hapa, where you can record six shows at once on a multi-terabyte hard drive.
And let me ask you a separate question that really just got brought up yesterday. Why am I paying more for 4G LTE when all it means is I hit my cap faster?
Because it's faster and they can charge you more.
But why am I paying that? Why am I not just buying a 3G phone?
Stick with 3G.
I know why they're doing it. The question is, why the hell am I doing it?
Because you're a techno geek and have to have the latest and greatest.
Well, and I still have unlimited data. Right.
Grandfather yourself in to that unlimited data plan.
Right.
And some
I can't log into Google Drive.
That's
interesting.
I think it's Sprint that has unlimited 4G, but if you happen to drop down to 3G, then it's limited and capped. So you have to be careful.
Nice.
So all the companies tout their networks, some of them say unlimited this, unlimited that. We don't throttle you, we don't gouge you, but they do one of the other things.
Yeah, which ends up being... And it's not like they aren't making money. They're making billions and billions of dollars a month. They're just not making enough billions and billions a month.
Well, and partly they're afraid of what it's going to cost to continue building their infrastructure. You know, what about 5G and 6G?
They're afraid to be in the business they're in?
Yeah.
Get out of the business if you're afraid of it.
They're afraid of losing their billions and billions in profit.
Well, when?
They have to spend some of it to continue building their infrastructure. It's not that we're not making money. We're not making enough money.
Right. All right, to the phones. Our first caller is Bodan from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Bodan. What's up? Or, Bodan, you there?
How many buttons? We got all our buttons, right? Maybe we put him to sleep.
No, we should be. He should be there.
Bodan? Okay, well, call back, buddy. We'll see if we can.
I'm wondering if it took out. We've lost power. I wonder if it did something to the phone system too.
Oh, that's true. Power went out here earlier. It wasn't our show, but it went out. I know internet is working because there are people on the Hangout, so we're chit-chatting away with that. But
I'm into the Google Drive app on my iPad.
Oh, good.
Oh,
are you? Okay, yeah. Then it's, maybe
here
it's
he
me.
Comes again.
Harumph and harumph. Okay. Well, this could make me angry. Ooh, this makes me so angry.
I'm back.
There you are.
I can hear you guys. Apparently, you just couldn't hear me. I heard a lot of static and then whatever. Anyway, here's the deal. Running an older, let me set it up. I'm running an older PC, Dell, Windows the XP Service Pack 3. I've had a monitor, a Samsung 20-inch widescreen, and the maximum resolution for my computer, and I found this out the hard way because I actually wanted to buy like a 23, and the video settings on my video board, which is integrated into the motherboard, the maximum that I can get is 1680 by 1050, and that's what my monitor is set for. No problem. Everything is fine. The monitor itself is having issues. It won't power up. It takes I have to hit the on-off switch a number of times. My neighbor has a monitor similar to mine with the same resolution settings. I've tested it, and his works fine with my computer. So I know it's not the computer. It is definitely the monitor. 3 days ago, I went down to a store, and I bought myself a HP 20-inch widescreen monitor. The resolution setting is supposed to be 1600 by 900. I hook it up to my computer, and everything is wacky as far as the image. It comes up only at 1280 by 768. I cannot bring it up any higher, even though on my old Samsung and my neighbor's Acer, the setting is at 1680 by 1050. I call the guy back up at that store, and he says, well, you may have an issue with the video card that's in your computer. There may not even be a driver to change things around. Do you guys agree or not? And what do you think the options are? I went online to see if I can buy a refurbished or a used 20-inch widescreen.
Well, I would check the monitor manufacturer for an updated driver.
Oh, I called HP. They were terrible.
Well, don't call them. Go to the website.
Oh.
And go to drivers for that monitor model. What is it? The EDID.
Right.
Which is a file that the monitor tells the computer, here's the resolution I can do at.
Electronic device.
EDID. So if I went to the HP website and
just look for
the model number for the monitor.
Hold on. The EDID should be available directly from the monitor. It's in the monitor itself. Somewhere in the drivers for your video card should be, for example, NVIDIA comes with a separate driver, a separate controller software. I don't know if your video card does because it's built into the motherboard, but many of them actually have a thing that will grab the EDID.
Mm-hmm.
And you need that because that will tell the driver everything that system can do.
And it's not just the pixel dimensions, the 1680 by 1050. It's also the frequency.
Right.
If that monitor will only do that resolution at 60 hertz and your video card is set to 70 hertz, mm-hmm. it won't work.
It's a file called edid.bin.
.bin?
Yeah, because it's a binary file. You may be able to get it from the HP website, as Steve says.
A driver for the monitor, they'll call it.
Because I basically, for about the same price, I can go online and get a refurbished Samsung, the same model number, bought, which is about almost the same price that I paid for the HP monitor in the store.
Right.
Unless, here's the thing, Dave and Steve, you have shops and businesses that you associate with. Do you guys have used monitors for sale that would be approximately 20-inch or 20-inch widescreen that would do the older 16 by 80 by 1050 resolution?
No.
Yeah, most of our the third-party monitors we carry are all 1920 by 1080, 1080p settings. Then we have the Apple monitor, which is 2550 by 1600. Mm-hmm. That requires
there's just not enough call for it because you can get so many newer monitors for so cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did have a company dump a lot of 17-inch monitors when they bought new 20s, and so I think we've been selling those for $50-$60 mm-hmm. for someone that just wants, you know, a little monitor for a kid usually.
Right.
But yeah, check a driver update for the video card and for the monitor just to be
the
safe.
The other option, you got music playing, so you go into a break. Yeah. What about using a TV? My TV, a 22-inch TV. Will that, do you think, may work or not?
Well, 1080p versus 720p.
Same idea.
Yeah.
It's the same problem.
Same problem then.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. Thank you.
Sorry. All right, we're going to take a break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 20 minutes after the hour. Soundbites, member supported. Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 25 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And I want to apologize to the people who are watching the show via the YouTube
was that scary
thing? Well, I forgot to start the broadcast.
You look, saved them then.
Look, yeah. So they're really just joining us now after about 25 minutes. You didn't miss anything. Here's the thing. You start the hangout. Then you name the hangout. Then you invite people to the hangout. Then you start the hangout. Then you can add things like Q&A, which I've added Q&A, so you can submit questions if you want to ask a question on the Q&A. Then it looks like it's running, but then you have to actually start the broadcast. So by the time you get to it, you're a good 15 minutes along by the time you get everything. Oh, and I had to add the whatever that's called, Hangout Toolbox, to make that work. There's so much to do.
And we're trying to set up here in the studio.
Oh, and by the way, we're trying to set up and prep the show and everything else.
There's not much time getting the cameras in place and everything else and squeezing in and out of here with the poker guys.
Yeah, several people asked me, why do you not do the IRC chat anymore? I said, well, there's two reasons. First, I'm on a wimpy computer, so the Hangout takes 90% of my power anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But secondly, it's too much. Steve's got a bunch of stuff he's doing. You've got a bunch of stuff you're doing.
Yep.
I got a bunch of stuff I'm doing. Something had to give. That was it. I'm sorry. Maybe if I get a new, faster laptop.
Yeah, but again, no, like you said, you're putting a lot on your plate to try to get ready in a short time and stay focused on the stuff that we got to do just for the show.
Right, because
there's
doing
a chat
radio
built into
show.
Hangout, and there's a chat built into the Ustream video.
Give me a break, Eastie. You know, there's...
Yeah, and the reality is there's more to a radio show. We make it look easy, but that's because it's not. All right, anyway...
Thank you.
There's a company called Destimo, and they do surveys. Their new August survey offers yet another snapshot of just how quickly Google Play is narrowing the gap behind iOS in app revenue generation. Last March, the split between the two platforms was 75-25. By August, that split had tilted 65-35. This means that Google Play now generates more than half as much revenue as iOS. Of course, it is possible with the new iPhone 5S and iPhone 5C, Apple may be able to slow down Google Play's market share gains during the last quarter of 2013. This is going to be one of the most interesting aspects of the iPhone 5C gambit. Is the new model going to help Apple at least postpone the day when Google Play becomes the highest grossing app platform? Look, I'm going to read this story even if you hate me.
No, the Plus app now hands off to the Hangout app. But... it won't mute.
Destimo shows that in Japan, Google has already become the number one app revenue generator. We talked about this last week with the cost of the phones. At the Tokyo Game Show this week, the pro-Google atmosphere was palpable as most Japanese mobile game developers highlighted their Android software plans. This matters because Japan has become the second largest app market in the world, recently growing to three-quarters the size of the American app market. Tokyo was abuzz this week with speculation about various cross-border deals with Japanese and and Western vendors. Both Supercell and Rovio are hiring new people to boost their Tokyo office as Nordic app vendors prepare to attack the Japanese market more aggressively. There was also a great deal of talk about Japanese companies like Gung Ho and Gree possibly expanding their U.S. presence as they attempt to tackle the American market more aggressively. Japan's growing global prominence in the app industry is also boosting Google Play's standing as many Tokyo developers support the platform strongly. In Europe, it's notable that Android app revenue has grown quickly in Germany, which is taking a decidedly more pro-Google track than the iPhone-friendly UK market. European developers still favor iOS, but the fact that Japan and Korea now outweigh the U.S. market globally is starting to have an impact on European app vendors. Many of them are now eyeing Asia as a serious export market, and that means supporting Google Play more robustly. The next couple of months are going to be a fascinating period. The new wave of ultra-cheap Android models are sweeping Asia and presumably helping Google Play to gain more ground. But it is possible that the iPhone 5C and 5S launches might give Apple's app revenue growth a notable boost in North America and Europe. So, do you download a lot of apps? And importantly, do you have in-app payments? And on what platforms? Give us a call. 585-966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299 or toll-free 1-800-790-0415. Just like, we can talk about this for a moment before we go on.
Yeah, we're seeing more and more of these app companies generating more and more revenue. I was talking with a teacher the other day who had come into the store and the teachers are supposed to get their kids ready for college. And no one quite knows what that means anymore because so many of the jobs in today's marketplace don't need college. But you do need the fundamentals of, you know, computer programming and logic and syntax. But anything you do in computer development these days, you probably are going to do big on. So the joke is you want to come up with a great idea, make a company, and get bought by Google for $1 billion.
You're right. It's not a joke. A lot of people are. That's their retirement policy.
That seems to be the new average price these days. But Instagram was $1 billion. YouTube was $1 billion.
Yeah, and game programs like the IGM over at RIT are growing ridiculously quickly because so many people want to get into app development.
Yeah, that's my son wants to get into. Although he doesn't want to write the games. He wants to test the games.
That's a big call for that, too.
Which means he just wants to play the games.
Yeah, of course.
But you have to write a little bit to know what you're testing. So we're trying to steer him.
You have to write reports or nobody's going to hire you to test the games.
Yeah.
He needs to know that. All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Carl from Pottstown, PA. Hiya, Carl. How are things in PA?
Oh, pretty good. How are you doing?
Peachy.
Good. I have a question. I'm about to cancel my cable television service because it's just too expensive and doing what some people I hear are doing, which is watching television over the internet. Now, I'm about to buy a new television, which I haven't done for a long time, and I'm just wondering, in order to do this, what features should I look at for the television? Should it have internet connectivity or what exactly?
Well, Here's the thing, it should have, there are a dozen different ways people are doing this, but what it ends up being at its simplest is there must be some sort of smart internet-connected device attached to the television.
Sometimes,
whether that's the television itself.
Right, built into the TV.
Right, or it's a Blu-ray player or something. For example, my TV is not particularly bright, but it is connected to a smart Blu-ray player. So I get Netflix and Hulu Plus and all of that other stuff, Pandora and YouTube and everything else, Crackle, blah, 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 all through the Blu-ray player, but they're not right in the TV itself.
Or you can use a set-top box like a Roku or an Apple TV or Google's abortive Q.
They're
pretty dead.
Now it's the Chromecast.
Yeah. So the biggest issue is getting live television. You sort of have to change your mindset that you're not watching television, you're watching a TV show. So if you want to watch, you know, Bones, then you can stream it on Netflix or Hulu or from whatever network that's on. Fox's Hulu. right? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Several of the networks are backing each of the different streaming stations. A lot of networks like ABC.com, PBS.com, they stream their own shows. So it's you go to different places to find the TV shows. Or using the Apple TV box, you can buy TV shows over the internet through the iTunes store. Using the Roku box, you can get to movie channels. You've got your Kung Fu Cinema channel.
Kung Fu Cinema, baby.
On the Roku box. So the biggest problem is live events. So like if you wanted to watch the Emmys last weekend, the solution for that is an antenna. You get a digital antenna, and then you have broadcast channels in high definition from your local city.
But that's 8, 10, 13 here in Rochester. It's right. Not everything.
Right. Although
21, 31.
Cable 16 is available on 13.2 digital.
Oh, nice.
Because it's the same company that owns.
So it's the CW.
The CW network. Yeah, the same company owns both channels. owns both channels. and so... That's what you have to do for live television, live events like that, or live sports. Now, many of the cable networks, like ESPN, you can get an internet subscription. NFL, you can get an internet subscription. Apple TV just added the tennis tennis league. What is the World Tennis League?
Yeah, sure.
ML, no. Whatever the tennis league
WTL?
Is.
WTL?
WTL, no.
WTF?
Tennis and soccer thing, yeah. one of those. So it's one of the advantages of cable TV is everything is in one place and you just tune the channel you want. When you cut the cord and move to internet watching, then your sources are varied and different. Something like Hulu, $8 a month, is a lot of TV shows and some movies. Netflix, $8 a month, is a lot of movies and some TV shows, but they're both starting to offer their own original programming as well. So you sort of have to, and I'm sure the networks are, this is one big thing the networks are afraid of, is you have to stop thinking about what network a show is on and just think about what shows you want to watch. So if you want to watch Breaking Bad, you can find it on Amazon Instant Streaming. You can find it on iTunes. In fact, there was a big mess on iTunes with Breaking Bad. iTunes offers a season pass. So for like $40, you get the whole season of a TV show. So you also have to add up how many shows you're watching and if a cable TV subscription is going to be cheaper than that per month. So if you subscribe to Hulu and Netflix and you buy shows on iTunes or Roku, you may end up paying more. Depends on how many shows you watch. Breaking Bad, the fifth season, AMC broke it into two halves, part one and part two. And we're seeing a lot of networks do that. Sci-Fi Channel's done that for years on their things. And so AMC counted that as two seasons, 5.1 and 5.2. So people who bought a season pass to Breaking Bad, they were told they had to buy a second season pass for the second half of the season. And there was a huge uproar on the internet, and so Apple said, okay, we'll give you a free half season. Even though it was AMC that
made the
decision, it was Apple that got the brunt of it because of the iTunes store.
Now, the other thing is I have a Sony Blu-ray player, so I have something called the Sony Entertainment Network with games and video and music. There's a lot of duplication over all of those things. For example, Breaking Bad is on both.
If it's produced by Sony or on a Sony-owned network, then it will be on the Sony stuff.
There's like five places I can watch Iron Man 3.
Yeah. And the same sort of thing can happen with other TV shows. It'll be on, say, the ABC website. It will be on, you know, Hulu. It will be on Netflix. It will be on iTunes. And so you can get the same thing multiple ways. On the other side of the coin, there are shows you cannot get in streaming. Because the producers and owners of the show just haven't done it yet.
The real way to determine if you're ready to cut the cord is to take a look at all of these services and write down all the shows you watch and see if they're all available. And if they're not, which ones can you live without? Some of them you will go right to the website of the company that makes them, like a lot of the Discovery Channel TV shows are on the Discovery Channel website.
Right.
So you do a lot more detective work. But in the long run, you can save yourself a lot of money. The other thing you have to remember is that you're not current. often.
Right. If you want to talk about last night's show at the office, you can't because you didn't see it last night.
Right. And but so more you, people, and then you have to worry about spoilers.
Right. More and more people are realizing that because we're all watching stuff on our DVRs, you know, days or weeks later, or on Netflix. The nice thing about Netflix is you can catch up on a show. You know, say you didn't start watching Breaking Bad and then hear all the stories about how great a show it is. Well, this is its fifth season. You can go to Netflix and that's the other problem. Probably go back to the original seasons. Depending on the company that makes it, they may not allow all of the original seasons to be streamed. So you may not be able to go back to season one. But I think on Netflix with Breaking Bad, you can because they know how big it is.
But on average, we've probably not answered the question you originally asked and given you way too much additional information. Stay on the line, Bodan. Are you still there?
Yes.
Good. Stay on the line. We'll come back to you in just a minute. We have to take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes. Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, Bodan from, who are we talking
Carl
to? We're talking to Carl from Pottstown. And me, Nick Francesco. It's 40 minutes after the hour. It's Soundbites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Got a computer question? Call the boys now at 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Or toll-free 800-790-0415. Online at soundbites.org. Soundbites continues next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we've got Carl on the line from Pottstown, PA, and we've been inundating him with information. The question I have is, did we answer your question?
Yes, and just one more thing. Would it be better to get some type of smart television with internet connectivity, or would it be better just to use my computer and run an HDMI cable to my TV, making it into a computer monitor, and just watch it that way over the computer with the TV as a monitor?
That actually gives you more options by using your computer, especially for web browsing. Not many TVs have a web surfer built right in, but the problem there is how close is your TV to the computer. Which a lot of people will use the Mac Mini or a little tiny media computer physically connected to their computer. And that gives you the Netflix website, the Hulu website, all the network websites, plus any other apps that happen to come out. And then there's the Google Chromecast, which is a really interesting box.
And the Google Chrome box as well.
Yeah. And then the other thing I wanted to mention too is when you call your cable company to say don't start out by saying you want to cancel. Tell them your bill is too high and you're looking to save some money. Most of the time they will give you a customer retention specialist because they don't want to lose you. And you may end up with a better package of more features for less money. We see that over and over again. People have reported, you're paying $150 a month for your cable package. You call up to cancel something, and they give you a better package for $100 a month. And so you can drop your price and get more service. And you know, it's like, we'll give you HBO for 12 months for free. Okay, in 12 months, I'll call you back and right, threaten to cancel, and you'll give me, then you give me Showtime free for 12. So that's what I've always argued with myself about. I don't want to subscribe to HBO, but I'd like to watch True Blood. And I don't want to subscribe to Showtime, but I'd like to watch Dexter. So finally, now that both of those series have stopped, I have a hope of catching up now on streaming.
Yeah, but either one will get you what you want. The question becomes, what are your viewing habits and what's your setup look like in your house? So is your computer close enough to your television? Are you going to buy a second little computer box to be the thing? Do you like to surf while you're watching television, et cetera, et cetera? So, for example, when I watch a movie at home, I've got IMDb right up on my computer.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're somebody like that, you're going to really want either a ridiculously powerful machine or two devices.
Well, yeah, the second screen Nick and I were talking about during the commercial, the sponsors. More and more TV shows and TV networks, USA Network has been doing it a lot. They have a second screen. So an app, or you go to the website on your tablet or your smartphone, and while a show is running, there's chat about the show, you know, more information about the actors. And so we're seeing more and more TV shows and TV networks doing this second screen option. And I'm just like Nick, too. I can't watch a show without IMDb and Wikipedia. Did that really happen? What did he mean by that? Or what's that? Oh, my God, that's a reference to this. And yeah.
So, yeah, it depends entirely on your personal situation. Both are viable.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate the information.
For what? For confusing you more? Our pleasure.
Take care.
Bye-bye. You too.
One of the nice things is that the boxes are relatively cheap. In fact, the Chromecast at $35 sort of took the market as the cheapest one. The Apple TV box is $99 with HD. The Roku box, there's a $69 box with SD and then a $99 box with HD.
Right.
Which then goes back to Bodan's question. Is your TV HD at 720p or full HD at 1080p? And that can depend on what box you plug into it as to what resolution you get out of that box.
Right. Okay.
The phone's going nuts again.
Joel, if you would call back.
But yeah, if you're interested in more information on cord cutting, Phil Dampier, Stop the Cap website tracks a lot of that stuff. And also Phil and I will be doing a presentation next Wednesday the 9th at Apple Cider, applecider.org. And we'll be talking about cutting the cord, what the options are, and what the ramifications are. So you got a pretty decent preview of it in the last 20 minutes there. I hope we didn't spoil our surprise.
Right. All right, our next caller is Joe from Rochester, New York. Hiya, Joe. What's up?
Hey, Nick. It's Joe from last week. I was in Brighton last week, so I don't mean to confuse you guys.
That's okay.
let's see. I got a Roku box.
Oh, nice.
And I've had it since Christmas now, and absolutely love watching baseball on a TV instead of a computer.
Yep.
I didn't subscribe to the Sci-Fi channel because I find real life too weird to handle. And I would like to be a charter member of the World Tennis Federation.
Wouldn't that be nice?
That was the episode title of was it NCIS this week? Whiskey Tango Foxtrot.
Well, yeah, it was. Whiskey Tango Foxtrot. World Tennis Federation.
That's all I have to say this week.
Thank you, Joe. Bye-bye. Yeah, I've had a Roku box forever. Netflix. We have a subscription that my wife and my daughter and I share. We each have our own little avatars on the thing and watch it constantly. There's an amazing amount of stuff that's available on it. The Roku box has even more stuff, actually, than the Blu-ray player that I've got now. All right, our next caller is Gary. Is it Gary?
Yes.
Gary from Rochester, New York. Welcome, Gary. What's up?
Welcome. I just want to let you know that in Rochester, New York, a Time Warner doing business in Rochester has to offer you their antenna, which is $10.50 a month. So you get 20 stations with no box, no nothing.
Right.
And if you want to watch your regular shows, you got it.
Now, what is it, $10 a month?
$10.50.
$10.50 a month.
What it's like 3 through I 31, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, I must get 20, 30 stations.
Mm-hmm. They don't say that much. Everyone says, oh, I want...
Nobody knows about
right, it. I want standard cable, or I want basic cable. This is a different word, which
want,
is below
you
it.
You want the $10, you want... It's a real funny situation. A lot of people don't know about it. And you just say, look, I just need the antenna.
Yep.
So it's the basic, and they have digital. To offer you that for doing business in Rochester. You have to offer that.
Yeah.
So you get that, and you got your internet. Then you get your Blu-ray player, your smart player, and then you go hook up for $8. Now for the whole Belgrande, it costs you like $58 a month.
Yeah.
Yep.
So. And a lot of people are doing it, and that's what scares the cable companies, not just Time Warner, but all of them. They're looking at losing their audiences. The problem is, The only way they can think to keep them is to raise their prices.
To keep their revenue, but that loses more audience.
Right. In fact, I think if my mine was like $8, and then I went to $9, now it's $10.50.
Right.
But, hey, $10 to get a, you know, beautiful picture.
Yep.
I mean,
right.
You get all your stations, and you get your news. I get FX.
Yeah.
So, and then you just hook up your Blu-ray player, which I did, and then you hook that up for the Netflix, and I got my old Sony TVs, CRTs. And,
Yep. As long as you know what you're doing, and as long as you go into it with your eyes open, and like we were saying to Carl, as long as you understand that things won't necessarily, not everything will be live, not everything will be as convenient as it was to find it, but right. You can find everything.
Right. But you need your base. You need your local station.
Yes, you do.
You got to watch your news. You got to have your world news. You got to have your basic stations.
Yes, you do.
Yep.
You got to. I mean, yeah. And then you, like I say, get a smart TV or you get the Blu-ray player and you hook it up hardwired.
Yep.
Good to go.
There you go. Thanks, Gary.
Okay.
One of the weird things that happens and what they'll warn you about, if you have a cable package or a package from the phone company for phone and cable and internet, if you drop one of those three, you often end up with a higher price for the remaining two individually, but you save money overall. So they'll warn you if you drop cable TV, your cable internet price is going to go up, but my overall bill is going to go down.
Right. All right. Before we go back to the phones, I've got a quick note here. This is just a test to see if someone without a camera can post. Yes, you can. Now I can select this next question and answer it. Thank you for confirming my conviction. You're welcome. And those questions have been now answered, and they'll appear in the broadcast. That's kind of interesting.
We should also mention that if you have Time Warner Cable, you also can subscribe to Cable Card, which is a little card to plug into a third-party DVR. So you don't have to rent the Time Warner DVR. You can get a third-party DVR, and TiVo is one of the biggest companies that gives you more features, bigger hard drive, and that cable card is $2.50 a month. So you may want to do that instead of using their DVR.
$2.50
a month, yeah.
Right.
Now, I think the box that the previous caller was talking about was the digital TV, the DTV box, because the analog broadcast transmissions have stopped. All TV shows are TV stations are broadcasting digital now.
Right.
You have to have a digital television. So if you have an older television that doesn't have a digital tuner in it, you have to get a digital set-top box. And for a while, the FCC was giving coupons for free boxes. I've got mine in the basement. I never got around hooking it up. So if you're not using cable and you were using an antenna, it has to be a digital antenna, and you must have a digital tuner in your television. And if you don't, you have to get a third-party digital tuner, or you can rent that from Time Warner. Now, actually, my mom just ran into this, too. She's had a TV with an antenna, and I can't find – it doesn't look like there's a cost for the digital television adapter. And I think that's because the government is mandating – you have to supply a digital tuner for someone with only an analog tuner.
Right. All right. Do we have time for our call? All right. We got 3 minutes left. Steve from Fairport, what's up?
Yes. Good afternoon, gentlemen. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Quick question. You're all talking about Apple TV and all that. I have an Apple TV puck, and I have some issues with Netflix. It's jerky, not on all their content, but on, for instance, the British drama called Foyle's War. And when they do a tracking shot or a zoom or a pan, it's not very smooth. Any thoughts on that?
Sometimes that can be the internet connection.
I have a very fast connection. There's no issue with that mm-hmm. I can tell anyway.
One of the things I've run into, especially when we're doing Second Life on Sundays, if my son is playing a video game on the Xbox, that's sucking the bandwidth down in the house as well.
Yeah.
And you also
at a neutral state though, so it's if I test it, I'm getting maybe 20 to 30 megabits per second, which I would think is pretty fast.
Yeah, that
yes.
is. Yeah. Did you apply the OS 6 update that came out this week?
Yeah, I always keep my Apple devices up to date. And
okay.
It is.
The first release of OS 6 had problems, and they pulled it back and then issued it again. So you might...
Right. I know they had some issues with it. I ended up not doing it until they...
Until it came out. Good.
Correct. But I'm not sure. It's not, if I watch a preview on Apple TV from one of their servers, to look at one of their movies or almost any other content, it's not bumpy or jerky. But Netflix seems to have an issue, and I'm wondering if it's, the television is full 1080p. I wonder if there's just some mismatch of settings or something.
It may just be a streaming issue from Netflix as well.
Mm-hmm.
You can, I don't know if you can do it on the Apple TV, but you can go into your Netflix settings on the web, and you can adjust the streaming quality they'll send you.
So log into the account and maybe make a change there.
Yeah.
Right.
See what
okay.
happens.
Right. If it happens only on movement, it may be that it's too low. It may be that it's too high, and so lowering it would help.
And if it happens only on one show, it may just be that show.
Right.
Or it could be the content. Okay, right. Well, I'll pursue it on the Netflix side.
All right,
thanks.
Perfect. We got to take a break. That's 1 hour down. We're going to do another hour, though. Hopefully we'll get it right this time. Practice makes mediocre. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, with Steve Ray, with me, Nick Francesco, and you. It is 59 minutes after the hour, and for no discernible reason, you continue to listen to the longest-running computer show in the known universe. We are Soundbites, and we are right here on the truly great and truly member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Show Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Get online now. Call 966-JAZZ. That's 966-5299. Toll free 800-790-0415. Or submit your question by email at soundbites.org. Once again, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 4 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. And we have a couple other questions on the Hangout. Somebody, Smiley, you're in the Hangout twice. There's only 10 connections, so don't take two. That leaves none for somebody else. If you have a digital TV, Daniel Warren says, if you have a digital TV without the digital box, Time Warner requires a digital decoder for certain channels. That's right. And that's why we were talking about getting that decoder and the digital antenna.
Yeah, so the broadcast channels you can get over ATSC. Used to be NTSC is the analog broadcast, and ATSC is the digital broadcast. And there's also QAM is a digital broadcast technology. But Time Warner can encrypt some of the channels. So it's usually like the 7 through 31 are the unencrypted channels, and if you want more than that, you need the box from Time Warner.
Right.
Even if you have a digital-ready television, if you want those extra channels, you need the box from them.
Right. And, of course, Ibrahim has asked, do you think Santa Claus is real? No, I do not think Santa Claus is real. I know he is. Thank you. And now back to the phones. Our next caller is Mark from Greece, New York. Welcome, Mark. What's up?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. A couple comments on the streaming.
Yeah.
The gentleman was talking about Netflix and getting that funny-looking effect.
Oh, man, I'll tell you what. My television has been doing that on cable. Every show that I want to watch is stuttering, and I'm getting really, really tired of it.
Yeah, I sometimes my audio drops out like every 30 seconds, like clockwork with cable, and they've been working on that, but, they give you the runaround.
Yeah, they say they're working on it.
Yeah, why don't we try a new box, that either reboot the box or try a new box is the standard.
Yeah, but then I'll lose everything I've got on that box. I need the new box and keep the old box.
It's a vicious cycle.
Yeah.
But I noticed with Netflix, I do get that effect. I do seem to get that more on standard def or older shows, but
yep.
I have got it on some newer things, and I noticed that Netflix kind of works on the fly where the resolution will change constantly depending on how quick your internet connection is.
Right, right. Now, and what you have to remember, it's not just your internet connection. It's everything between you and Netflix.
Right. So say there's a lot of bandwidth being pulled out of my neighborhood, you know.
Right.
I'll notice at some point that I won't go above 480p.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, 15 minutes into the show, I'm back up to 720 or 1080. Now I have the intermediate package with them, which is like 15 megabits, and it works fairly well. And you know, I don't worry about that so much. I don't have Hulu Plus, but my sister has Hulu Plus, and she's got that 30 megabit package.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And even with Hulu, that wasn't fast enough. They had to turn her down to standard def.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think a lot of that is how many concurrent streams they're running. You got to imagine what Netflix say they've got 10 million subscribers, and say even half of them are watching at any given point. 5 million people streaming video at the same time. What's their bandwidth bill? Actually, that was a big problem. Comcast sued Netflix to get some of the money back because Comcast is a huge cable provider, cable TV and cable internet provider out in the West Coast. And studies came out and showed that, 90% of primetime internet traffic is Netflix. And so Comcast wanted some of their money back. Most of the time, the internet service providers have what they call peering agreements. So Time Warner agrees to carry Comcast customers, and Comcast agrees to carry Time Warner customers, and they don't worry about it. But so many people were going to Netflix that Comcast said, we want some of our money back. And then that brings up the other point. Comcast NBC owns Comcast. So we just had the CBS-Time Warner fight, where Time Warner took CBS off the cable and off the streaming, which was really annoying. And they finished that fight. So now NBC is looking at the same thing, which is ironic because NBC is going to charge Time Warner more money, but they won't charge Comcast more money because they own Comcast.
They own Comcast.
So that's all part of this net neutrality thing we've been trying to get through Congress.
Right.
Well, it's a big mess.
Yep.
And Time Warner, I'm on their survey team, where I get surveys probably maybe sometimes twice a week to once or twice a month, and they had the gall to ask me what I thought about the CBS debacle that was going on right during the time, and I gave them a piece of my mind, and I told them, you know, in the end, you know, neither one of you, either CBS or Time Warner, is really hurting during this whole process. It's the customer that's hurting.
Right.
And I said, you know, you never use a blackout as a bargaining chip.
Right.
Yep.
It should be a last resort.
Their sort of advertising they were doing was annoying. What did they call it? Do you want us to roll over or fight back?
Right.
Do you want us to roll over and raise your prices, or do you want us to fight back and you lose the signal?
Even if they don't roll over, they're going to raise the price.
Yeah.
It's like buying gasoline. You know, you're at their, you know. It's just a mess, you know, I'm looking at the same thing coming up in December. Do I cut back on my services from them? Do I only get TV from them and start doing internet and phone back with Frontier? You know, I had to fight so hard this past year when my contract was up for the phone, internet, and TV to get them to give me a decent price. It was almost hardly worth the effort to just go for 1 year.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so many people are using a cell phone instead of a landline that we've cut that third of the pie out. And
yeah,
we're using.
I don't want a cell phone next to my ear constantly. Yeah.
I still like the landline because it works in a power failure. It's powered by the phone company.
Yeah. So, you know, I've got that whole battle coming up again, and I really am dreading it because the last time they tried to pop everything back up to retail.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Your 12-month plan is over.
If I want to pay retail, I'll just do things a la carte. You know, I'll buy certain services from you and certain services from Frontier.
Right.
You know, it they really make you work hard just to be a loyal customer. I've been a customer for from this particular cable company since 1988.
Since they started.
Yeah, and have nothing to show for it. They just don't care.
No, they don't. Well, many places don't. It's not endemic to Time Warner. It's industry-wide. Lots of packages for new customers to entice them in. Never a loyalty package for old customers. Never.
I've got a loyalty package once during this whole deal that I got back in 2010, 2011. They upped my bill $5.
That's not a loyalty program.
The same package, and that was the only loyalty deal I ever got.
Yeah, right.
Well, I think that's what's happening now with these customer retention specialists is that they realize they're losing customers, so they're trying to keep you as a customer if they can throw something in. But the stockholders like seeing new customers. It all goes back to the stock price. They don't care about people watching the television. They care about the people who are buying their stock, and their stock price has to keep going up. Because they have to get new customers. So that's where they're putting their incentives in. But if enough people leave, then that hurts the stock price too. So it's
I understand that there are
catch 22.
I really don't.
Right. Well, but I understand that they're in a catch 22. I do get that. It's going to be in many ways a no-win situation.
Exactly.
But
which is why we like internet-only services like Netflix, Hulu, and some of the other ones, making their own original content. That a lot of people, even YouTube now, a lot of people are making really high-class, high production value TV shows and movies and putting them on YouTube or Vimeo or one of the other movie sites, video distribution services, and that's now the new television. That we used to talk about 500 cable TV channels. Well, now we've got millions of channels on the internet.
Yeah, yeah. There's a little series on YouTube about the space-time inspector who travels in a police box and blah 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 blah. But they clearly can't call it a Doctor Who parody, and they can't do there's a million things they can't do. But it's really funny and really interesting. Can't remember the exact name. It's like the Mad Bomber, What Bombs at Midnight. It's something along that line, but. It's really funny and really interesting, and it's a series that you can watch. And there's lots of that stuff.
I'm watching Orange Is the New Black on Netflix. Think it's a great show.
Yeah,
I'm watching it too. And the point is, and that was the point of the poll of the week. What we're beginning to see is that not only is that sort of non-television show becoming more acceptable, but it's good enough that it's not just a bunch of kids in their basements with rubber Spock ears.
Yeah.
No, right. No offense.
Well, I was one of those two when you first started the show that said it was the death knell, because I even think cable networks like TNT and FX are putting out great shows and much better shows than what the big networks are putting out.
And you've got the Nerdist Network and Geek and Sundry, Felicia Day, Machinima, all of these really great YouTube networks, basically putting out really great stuff. And just saw that the Mortal Kombat Legacy 2 episode is out. And Kari, I can never remember his last name, who was in Mortal Kombat, was in town last week for the sci-fi convention. And they're getting big name original actors in a lot of these shows, because most of the time it's real producers. Damon Lindelof has said that you can do your own stuff. You're not fighting a network. You're not fighting, the suits. You can do whatever you want. You hire your friends. But we're talking about the Marvel show. Did you see all the Joss Whedon's friends that are in it?
Yes.
J. August Richards from Bones.
Well, but that's the thing.
Booth.
Yeah, and that's the thing Angel. that they're talking about. Generally, is that when you make a real TV show nowadays, you have 50 people who are your masters.
Yep.
You've got a whole bunch of people who say, well, Margaret Cho is famous for this. They wanted a story about an ethnic Asian woman in America, and then they kept, then some other suit came in and said she wasn't ethnic enough, and another suit came in and said she was too ethnic, and another one came in. It just, it's TV by committee, which is why you mostly get crap.
Right.
But the reality is that when you give one person like Joss Whedon, somebody who's smart and good at what they do, artistic control, you often get miraculously wonderful stuff. And that stuff is all going to cable and YouTube and places where somebody will just say, here's $50 million, make me a TV show.
Which is a ridiculously tiny amount of money compared to what a traditional TV show or movie would cost. If I would mention, you know, we went to the Wolverine last weekend. At the end of the movie, and I've seen this in a lot of movies lately, this movie employed 15,000 people to make this movie, and hundreds of thousands of person hours of jobs were created to make this movie.
I think TV is really cannibalizing itself.
Yes.
In the end, I mean, all the bugs on the screen, all these people popping up on your screen, they're taking up a third of your screen, and, you know, you see somebody walk across the screen, and I'm just sick and tired of it.
I've even seen,
I'm paying a lot of money for TV and really getting annoyed with it.
I'm getting really tired of going to the movies and sitting through commercials.
Yep. I've even seen in the show, what was it on Neighbors last week? In the show, the guy said they were having an argument. Can we hear this argument up because Shark Tank is on next?
Yeah.
Because that was the next show on the network. So in the show, they're advertising the next show. Not just a bug at the bottom, the characters saying it in the show.
Well, I hate the bugs at the bottom, particularly if it's a dramatic series.
Yeah.
Here's a main character, possibly, but clearly not because they're going to come back next week, but possibly dying of something, whatever it might happen to be. And up across the bottom of the screen come the two guys from Psych going, yodi, 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 yodi. Break the mood, won't you, please?
Yeah.
That's why I'm watching this, to have the mood broken.
And if they're going to keep putting these bugs on the screen, I want the bug in the corner. I'm sick and tired of them putting it in the aspect of the 4:3 screen where it's sitting way into the screen.
Well, and that's a lot of that's because people don't know networks. They just know shows, and the network wants to brand themselves.
Right, and
they're bringing
it in because not everybody has HDTV yet. Listen, we got to take a break.
Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 19 minutes after the hour, Soundbites, member supported, Jazz 90.1. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 24 minutes after the hour, before we go back to the phones, we should probably say something about the autumn breakfast.
Good idea.
All right.
There's an autumn breakfast.
Okay, let's go back to this. No, wait. There's probably more we want to say. There is an autumn breakfast coming up. You have the dates right there.
October 26th from 9 a.m. to noon at the Greece Olympia High School. Which is where we're broadcasting from. All you can eat waffles, sausage, eggs, coffee, orange juice. The Polka Bandstand hosts, Ray and Al, will be there along with the Soundbites hosts, Nick, Dave, and I. I can't talk today.
Let me finish for you now. What happens is you come and you can have waffles and bacon and all kinds of stuff, and it's cheap.
Tickets are $7.
$7, and we'll be there. We'll be happy to sit and chit chat with you as we wander the tables, mingling and being the social gadflies that we are. We would love to see you. We chat to you and rarely with you on the air. We would love to actually see you and sit and chat with you during a show. So
tickets are available now. Only $7 per person. Children under 5 are free. You can call the studio line 966-5299, or you can buy your tickets online at jazz901.org.
They are on sale right now, and the dates are
October 26th from 9 to noon.
Perfect.
Because then we go on the air.
And then we will go on the air, right. But we will go back to the phones right now, and we will talk to Linda from Greece. Hi, Linda. What's up?
We'll try again. Buttons and phones. Never a nice combination.
As my system shuts down.
Did you forget to plug in your power?
Are you there now, Linda?
Yes, I am.
Hi, Linda. What's up?
Okay, I think I have an answer to that guy's question about the garbled video and audio on TV.
Yeah.
I read an article maybe about a year ago, and they said something about sunspots. And I read it, and it said it started at the beginning of August and ran till Halloween. Now, I don't know if this applies, but I've noticed that it happens on my TV, too, and all that, but it didn't happen before August. So, you know, that's I read that someplace. I don't remember where, and they said it was sunspot. It had to do with the sun.
Yep, and actually, yes, what people don't realize is how very powerful the sun really is and what a huge effect it has on our everyday life in ways we don't think about, like sunspots and electromagnetic radiation like that. We often come to the you got to come to the realization that those things can affect all kinds of stuff. Now, you wouldn't think they would affect cable TV, because cable TV is in a wire.
A cable.
Right. It's in a cable. However, there's two things there. First, it's often being sent by satellite to the cable. And secondly, what is a cable? It's just an antenna with a coating around it. And so it's just a long piece of wire. What's a long piece of wire? It's an antenna. So what we often find is that when you have something as strong as sunspot radiation, it goes through the shielding in the cable and can certainly mess stuff up. I get that. And I wish when I called and complained to Time Warner that they would remind me, as you just did, that it may very well be sunspots.
Yeah.
And that also explains why it doesn't happen on every channel all the time, because you end up with different frequencies for those sunspots. They may affect a frequency that hits, I don't know, Comedy Central one time and AMC another time and TBS another time. So those kind of things can certainly happen.
And there's a neat website, spaceweather.com, that tells you the current condition. The solar wind speed is 266 kilometers per second at a density of 1.1 protons per cubic centimeter.
Very good.
But we are in a weak solar max. So it's not as heavy as it could be, but there was a huge fireball in Ohio last night as a meteorite struck the earth or struck the atmosphere and exploded.
Yeah, I also have a comment about Time Warner. I agree, Time Warner is the biggest pain in the you know what. I said in the you know what.
All right. Thank you, Linda.
I didn't say that. So
thank
anyway,
you, Linda.
I mean, my mother's 92. We've got digital everything. We pay $178 a month.
Yeah, it's getting to the point where entertainment is not for the common person anymore.
No, it isn't. And I tell you, I love Netflix. They took CSI New York off. A month later, CSI New York was on Netflix.
Yep.
And I watched all 9 seasons. That and Law and Order and all that. But I got to make one more comment, and then I'll hang up. I do not like iOS 7. That is the biggest pain in the you-know-what.
It's so different. People are having trouble adjusting.
Yes. I just got a new iTouch 5, not even 30 days old. I'm thinking of returning it and using my old one, which is a fourth generation. I don't like this new one.
Yep. A lot of people are unhappy with change. You're right.
Okay, thank you, guys.
Thanks. All right, during that phone call, my computer shut itself down. I don't know if I hit some key combination that I've never hit before or what, but it came back up. I am back in the chat, and I am back in the drive putting in the titles in the and information in there so you can copy it.
I was trying to log back in, but the iPad loses its Wi-Fi because of the proxy server, and it goes to sleep, and so that's
right.
An annoying problem too.
But it all came back as if it had never gone away. It's really kind of cool.
It's like it went to sleep.
Yeah, it's really kind of cool. I don't know what the people who were in the chat in the Hangout were seeing when I disappeared, but apparently it's still there. There we go. The mic had been muted, but that's back up again. So my machine shut down. It's back up again. I'm back in the chat in the Hangout. And everything seems to be back where it was. How interesting is that? All right, back to the phones. Our next caller is Jim from Webster, New York. Welcome, Jim. What's up?
Okay, I've got my email is Hotmail. Of course, now I think it's Outlook.
Yeah.
But I have a problem attaching any document to my emails. I get a message that says, Internet Explorer has stopped working, and then another one pops up. A problem caused the program to stop working correctly. Windows will close the program and notify you if a solution is available. And they never do.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, two things.
Yes, there is no solution other than stop using Windows.
Well, yeah. two things. You're using Outlook Mail on the web, I assume?
Yes.
Okay. Secondly, how big are these attachments?
Well, when I discovered this about 2 weeks ago, all I was attaching was a couple of receipts I had to send in to be reimbursed, and it wouldn't take those receipts. I mean, all it was two receipts that I had scanned, put in the file, and
so they're PDFs.
Yes. Yeah.
Have you tried sending them one at a time?
No.
Often there is a limit to how big a file you can send.
Well, you know, I've tried different files. I've tried sending, just a one page of a Word document. I've tried sending pictures.
Pictures are big, but Word documents are generally not big enough to trigger that. So
right.
The next thing to check is use a different browser and see if it works with that. That'll tell us whether the problem is Outlook, Explorer, it'll narrow it down a little bit anyway. Yeah. So try a different browser. Of course, Chrome is free, Firefox is free, Opera's free. Just download it. You can have as many as you want on your machine at one time. If you have enough RAM, you can run them all at the same time if you want. So download one and log into Outlook Mail from there. See if you can send things. The third thing to try is, you should always dance a security tango when you have a weird problem like that. But the third thing is, how much RAM do you have?
I don't know.
Yeah.
You also might want to.
My computer is only about a year and a half old. It's a Dell.
All right, then it's not like you don't have enough RAM. Yeah.
You may want to try a mail reader program like Mozilla Thunderbird, where you're reading your mail in a separate program, not on the web. That sometimes works better as well. Microsoft has their own Windows Live Mail that basically has replaced the Outlook Express Mail program.
Windows Live I'm not really up to date with everything that's going on. Okay.
Well, you're doing okay for yourself, but I would try those things first.
Yeah.
The thing that may solve the problem is a different
browser.
Yeah. Yeah. And you should definitely dance the security tango one way or the other just to clean everything out. It may also be that there's something. Well, in fact, the first thing I would try, and the last thing I'm going to tell you, is the first thing you should try, of course. Try clearing out your browser's cache.
Okay.
And see if there's something in there that's causing a problem. That's probably the best thing to do. Steve can post a link on how to clear out Internet Explorer's browser cache.
And I've also found quite a few other people having the same sort of problem.
Okay.
Although it's tough now, either talking about the Outlook program or the Outlook website or the Outlook Express program. Microsoft is notorious for naming everything the same, and so you never know exactly what they're talking about.
600,000 people work for that company that can't hire somebody to make up names?
Yep. But yeah, that can help too. It's just if I find the right link here, I can attach it.
Okie doke. So we'll get that up shortly.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jim.
Okay.
Good luck. Yeah, that's email is becoming more and more of a confusing issue because there are so many different ways and so many different companies putting out email. They all have different requirements. They all have different limits. It's hard to keep up. And of course, they're always changing the front end. So although you're actually running the same email program, or the same back end, the front end looks completely different. So it looks like a new program. Where things have happened look like they're in different places. There's also the other part of the problem is the problem online? Is it your browser? Is it your software on your computer? Is it the internet service provider in between the two of you? There are so many pieces and parts that it's hard to know exactly where to even start tackling some problems. It remains fairly complex, sometimes you can dismiss one element or another as a possible problem, but sometimes you really have to take a look at every single step along the way. I'm using Gmail mostly myself with Thunderbird for almost everything. And it works slightly differently from the way I'm used to. So I'm having a little trouble adjusting to that. My fingers keep hitting the wrong key combinations. But in general, it works fine, but you do have to adjust.
We've been seeing more and more people using Webmail, especially Gmail and Yahoo Mail, because they have multiple devices. And so when you read a message on one device and delete it on one device, it knows it and deletes it from the other device because Webmail uses IMAP. So when you're setting up...
Which means the mail never really lives on your device. It lives in the cloud and you just go look at it.
Yeah. So when you're setting up your tablet or your phone or even your computer for your mail account, you want to make sure that your provider supports the IMAP protocol. The older POP protocol doesn't allow this. So that when you read the message on your tablet and delete it, you don't have to see it again on your computer.
Right, but you can read it on your tablet or your laptop and or your phone.
Yep.
And everything else. We take a quick break. Back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, me, Nick Francesco, and you. 40 minutes after the hour, Sound Bites, member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at soundbites.org. More with Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray next on member-supported Jazz 90.1.
Before you call into our show, please make note of the following rules. 1. Turn your radio down. 2. Turn your radio down lower. 3. Remember, nobody has invented a good-sounding speakerphone yet. Don't use them. 4. Make sure you have a point. It makes for a more interesting show. 5. Calling does not guarantee you'll get on the air. No whining. 6. If you do get on the air, please do not tell the host what you just told the screener. We don't care. And 7. Is that radio turned down yet? We hope this will make for a more enjoyable program, and we thank you for your time.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And at 44 minutes after the hour, we are Soundbites. I have to commend Google on the fact that my machine shut itself down. When it came back up, I was still in the Hangout.
So that's
cool.
The answer for you. Leave it running at the end of the show. So when you bring it back next week, it will still be running.
Bet you there's, there's got to be a timeout somewhere.
Nice try.
Yeah.
Nice try. But we're back to the phones, and we have Roger back, who apparently we cut you off at some point. I don't know quite what happened. Apologize. What's up?
Okay, guys, got a question about motherboards.
Yeah.
In the process of replacing a hard drive that went bad, and I'm kind of suspicious of my motherboard, having a few fluky things happen, and the Southbridge is running quite hot. If I don't have a lot of fans on it, you put your finger on it, it's not, you can't touch it, but after about 5 or 10 seconds, you do want to take your finger off it. And I'm getting odd little things during the show. I was playing Free Cell, want to change the statistics bar stayed on the screen even when I closed Free Cell, and then I had a browser freeze, hit Task Manager to close the browser, and Task Manager remained on the screen. I had to reboot. It's been now temperatures right now. I've got a CPU temperature of 76, motherboard temperature of 96, hard drive temperature of 87. These are all in Fahrenheit. But my graphics are running at 155.
And that actually makes a certain amount of sense since Southbridge handles your connectors.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Doesn't the Northbridge and the Southbridge chips both usually have heat sinks on them, if not a fan?
The Southbridge does not have a heat sink, of course.
Right.
Well, it's got, you know, the regular thin one that, you know, comes with a motherboard.
Right. On your particular motherboard, is it in the chip? It's not separate. It's in the chip itself. Right? I mean, it's its own... Excuse me. It is separate. It's a separate chip.
Mm-hmm.
Marked SB for Southbridge.
Okay.
And that's the one you're seeing, right?
When I get my board temperatures?
No, you said you could put your finger on it.
Right.
It's that separate little chip marked SB. It might not be marked SB on your machine.
Yeah, it's below the Northbridge where the CPU goes.
Right. It's the thing that should be connecting to the GPU, and that, well, it connects to the ports, to the PCI slots and everything else. So it is very possible that it is running hot for... And you said the GPU, the GPU or the card is running hot itself.
Yes.
Well, first check to see if there is or should be a fan on that card, on your video card.
Okay, I'm running onboard video. That's my other question. Is the onboard video is only at 256 and I'm running Windows 7? Do you think that a new video card, you know, an additional video card might solve the problem?
It might. It certainly will allow you to buy a card with a fan on it.
I would turn off the...
Which would be helpful.
What is it? Aero graphics and all the gem, all the extra video stuff that Windows 7 puts in. Turn all that off so that it doesn't overtax the onboard GPU.
Right.
And that should make it run cooler as well.
Okay. And I mean, as far as ventilation goes, I've got a monster case. I've got a side bump out with a pair of 250-millimeter fans blowing in, and on the back of the case, I've got a 110-millimeter fan blowing in. So it's not that I'm underventilated.
No, but not enough of that ventilation may be reaching the Southbridge.
Okay.
You see, think about what the actual airflow is.
Mm-hmm.
If stuff is coming in, say, from... One side, I don't know how your case is set up, but let's say stuff is coming in from one side and going out the back. It may not be reaching stuff at the front of the motherboard well.
Ah, I see.
See what I'm saying?
Okay, I see. Yeah, so I'm getting plenty of airflow on the front of the motherboard, but the back side.
There you go.
Okay.
And therefore, if you buy a video card with a fan in it, well, that just adds more air movement, and that should help things.
And sometimes another chassis fan can help inside the box to move the air around.
Right. If it's a big enough box, maybe there's a space where you could put a fan in the back blowing through the front.
Oh, it's a monster box. I've got a front chassis. It'll take 10 drives.
There you go.
Nice.
So I wanted ventilation. My last machine had a Pentium 4 Hyper-Thread processor.
Sure.
Those were known for melting themselves, so I became a ventilation nut.
You're probably familiar with, there's a company in town called Frozen CPU, and they sell a lot of cooling systems, and they specialize in some of the liquid cooling systems, too. Which are a lot quieter than having a bunch of fans spinning in your chassis.
Well, fortunately, I'm at that age where my hearing is beginning to go, so I don't hear my wife or my fans as much as I used
That's
to.
That's good.
There you go.
So,
all right, did that help?
Yeah, that helps a lot. One quick thing, you're mentioning sunspots.
Yeah, very what quick. Comes? We've got only a few minutes left, and we got more
I'll
callers.
I'll let you get back to it.
Thank you, Roger. All right, yeah, we're up at the end of the show, and as always, people wait till the last minute to call. So
Dave is bringing the next caller on.
Dave is bringing the
call. My CPU is at 160 degrees. My Northbridge is at 133, and I don't have a Southbridge sensor on my computer at the moment.
My hard drive is at 115 degrees, but everything else is under 100.
And my fan is
all right. Our next caller is Tim from Webster. Welcome, Tim. What's up?
Yeah, hi, guys. Just a really quick fun thing. It's not a question. I was just over there at the school watching a bodybuilding contest, and I wanted to come over and say hello to you guys, but the security guy would not let me through to say hello.
Yeah.
And, so I was very disappointed. I've been listening to you guys for years.
No, that's actually a good thing, Tim, because you never know. Anybody who listens to our show is clearly suspect to begin with, and this is a high school, so they want to keep those kids as safe as possible.
Yeah, I understand. I was just being a little silly. And they did apparently have a few power outages. I heard you guys having trouble on my way home. I was wondering maybe if that was a factor. Nick, you said your computer just went out or something.
Oh, yeah, there's a possibility. No, well, it's a laptop. It's on. It has a battery.
Right.
It just shut down. I think I hit some key combination that I've never done before.
To force it to sleep.
And it went away. But you know what, though? We did have some outages earlier today.
Yeah.
And it's not. So I don't know what the deal is. Clearly, it's the whole school. It's not the station. I don't know what the deal is, but whatever it is, it's hit us a couple of times.
And I'm plugged into a different
today.
Outlet than you are.
Right, and we're plugged into different outlets. It was still charging. It just actually, like if I'd hit the off button.
Yeah.
I don't know what it was. It just shut down.
Do you have your magnetic bracelet on? Did you hit the read switch?
That was it. I got my forehead.
It's your magnetic personality.
I got my forehead too close to the computer. That was it.
Okay, thanks, guys. I'll listen to the what I missed tomorrow when it's uploaded. Thanks.
All
a lot.
Right, thanks, Tim.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
Thank you. This is weird because this is an ancient laptop. You could do pretty much anything this and won't shut down because it doesn't have, like, magnetic thises and thatses. But somehow, I don't know what I did, but I shut it down pretty darn good.
Your magnetic personality.
That's exactly what it must have been. creating little sunspots off my forehead. Probably.
Your solar panel.
Exactly. It's my solar panel.
Now, I've had my iPad plugged in the whole show, right?
Yeah.
My battery's still going down. The Hangouts app and showing all that video is drawing more power out of the battery than the wall socket can put in at the same time.
Interesting. This machine is so ancient that the battery's mostly dead anyway. If I unplugged it, I would have about 8 seconds of battery left.
But ironically, the way batteries work, that could be considered 100%.
Yeah, and that's just it. It reads 100%, but I get about 5 minutes.
Yep. We see that a lot with people bringing in older computers. Well, my battery says 100%, but it only lasts 10 minutes. Yes, because 100% is 10 minutes now, because the battery is a consumable device, and it eats itself up.
It's eating itself up. That's exactly how it works.
Battery may not perform as well as it did when it was new.
Yeah. Well, and that's what I like about the fact that I can change the battery in my phone, which I can't do. You still can't do it on an iPhone, right?
Not user replaceable, but people can. But more and more phones are starting to do that.
Be not user replaceable?
Not user replaceable, yeah. Well, and it's what Apple said when they did it to begin with. If you don't have to have all that mechanism, you can make the battery bigger, which means longer life.
I suppose. All right, that's it. We're done for another week. I want to thank everybody who called in. I want to apologize to those of you to whom we did not get. Please call in earlier next week. We do have a hard stop limit. And the reason we have a hard stop limit is because the next show coming up is George playing the best German music you'll hear all week. Do not miss it. It's great stuff. We will be back next week with a whole lot more of the longest-running computer show in the known universe. So for Dave Enright, for Steve Ray, I'm Nick Francesco. We want to thank you for having sat through another 2 hours. There's a Saturday afternoon you won't get back. But George is coming in. Like I said, it's the best German music you'll hear all week. We'll see you next week on Soundbites on member-supported Jazz 90.1. Thanks.